This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. It was a bit of an awkward circus of angry tweets and unexpected optics, as President Donald Trump seems to have rattled the apple cart in Europe during his recent overseas trip. But don't tell that to presidential spokesman Sean Spicer.
It was an unprecedented first trip abroad, just 4 months into this administration, and it shows how quickly and decisively the president is acting to strengthen alliances, to form new partnerships, and to rebuild America's standing in the world.
It's not completely clear if Spicer was referring to the range of Trump tweets following talks with NATO and G7 leaders, lambasting the news media, North Korea, leakers, and as to Germany, Trump wrote, "We have a massive trade deficit with Germany, plus they pay far less than they should on NATO and military. Very bad for U.S. This will change," he tweeted this on Tuesday. At first glance, German Chancellor Angela Merkel seemed to have thrown up her hands following last week's meetings with the U.S. president.
"The times in which we could completely depend on others are, to a certain extent, over."
Chancellor Merkel went on to say that Europe must, quote, "take its fate into its own hands." Is the leader of Germany giving up on cooperation with the United States and its allies?
I'm sorry. No, this is just not true. What she was saying was, quite precisely, we cannot in the future always unconditionally rely on America and the United States. So what she was saying is that these allies have both become less dependable than they used to be. She also said quite explicitly that the door would always be open and that we would always want to cooperate with them, but that we'd have to be able, put ourselves in a position, enable ourselves to rely on ourselves more regularly.
Veteran analyst Constanze Stelzenmüller insisted that U.S.-European relations are in good shape despite the Trump style. She is the Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Mabel Barazin is a sociology professor at Cornell University and author most recently of Illiberal Politics in Neoliberal Times. In assessing this first round of Trump-style diplomacy with these two seasoned pros, Constanze Stelzenmüller expressed shock that President Trump seemed to be completely unaware of how much Europe has been quietly moving toward his positions.
What Trump is just ignoring, and ignored in that speech in Brussels, was that actually America and Europe have been working together on enabling Europe to take on a greater part of its own security burden. We agree on this, and we have been doing a lot. And this American president makes it seem as though, A, we disagreed, B, we're doing nothing, B, we're reckless and feckless free riders. That is simply untrue. And what offended Europeans so much was that he said all this standing in front of a memorial for Europe's commitment to America when Europe invoked Article 5, the Mutual Defense Clause, after 9/11. And in the Afghan war that followed, nearly 900 Europeans lost their lives fighting alongside America.
Professor Barazin?
I actually do think that there are two things going on there. I mean, I think there is the sense of offense that he doesn't know history. And I also think there's a kind of sense of moral superiority that he's generating. In part, it's connected to his lack of knowledge. But there is this sense that people feel that he is stepping on toes as he goes around and that he's potentially dangerous, not only to the transatlantic alliance, but to the various features of international trade, economics, and that sort of thing.
Before we talk about the danger and the potential dangers there, from both of you, I'm wondering if you could react to what a lot of historians have said is Trump represents the end of liberal politics coming from the United States and the evangelical sort of advocacy of liberal democracy in Europe and elsewhere in the world. Would you agree that that is the case, Constanze?
No, I think that's wildly exaggerated. I think that certainly Angela Merkel and Europeans in general make a distinction between this president and America and this president and at least some of his advisors in the White House. It's true that this president and some advisors appear to hold what one can only call Darwinian views of competition, even with allies, and an approach to allies and trusted traditional allies like the Europeans and like the Germans that is transactional rather than based on a sense of values and not just of shared interests. And that, I think, is a genuine shift. The other thing that I think Europeans worry about is that the reason America was able to get its allies and its friends to follow its course when it set a direction was that there was always a sense that the post-war America was creating and protecting a liberal world order for the sake not just of itself and of its own people, but of greater peace and prosperity in the world. In other words, something larger than just a single country, even a large superpower like America. And that's a commitment that right now is not being referenced a lot by this White House, and it's being noticed in Europe.
I would go beyond it's not being referenced. It's almost unknown by this White House. I mean, I think one of the really serious issues here is that what the current administration has really done is in many ways compromise the secular moral authority of the United States in the post-war era, in which this liberal world order is codes for in a way. And that is actually, I think, unique to this particular administration. I have a hard time imagining that this is sort of the end of the world as we knew it, as it were. I don't believe that this administration's values, such as they are, these transactional values, are going to continue, because this administration in so many ways is an outlier. And it's very difficult to imagine that it has the capacity, the intellectual capacity, to wipe out the past 60, 70 years of international relations. I do think that we are in a moment that we have to be concerned about on both sides of the Atlantic. But I think we need to be careful about ceding too much moral authority or power to this particular administration.
I've looked at a lot of the comparisons of notes out of meetings between foreign leaders and the president of the United States, and the differences between one interpretation and the other is often quite striking. Any assessment that Sean Spicer said yesterday that Angela Merkel and President Trump get along very well? Any credibility to that, either Professor Berezin or Costanza?
Look, yes, my impression is that that is actually correct. Angela Merkel and President Trump have been on the phone quite a lot. They've established, I think, a cordial working relationship. I think that Angela Merkel's remarks in Germany, which also need to be seen in the context of an election in 4 months, where she is trying to make sure that her opponent isn't enabled by Trump's speech in Brussels to make this a anti-Americanism a key element of his campaign. But I think that we need to assume that there will continue to be a good working relationship between America and Germany, but one that will be probably more transactional and more realist on both sides.
Comment on to the Paris climate change and the NATO mutual defense pledge, Professor Berezin? Are those solid? And certainly the climate change, the Paris Climate Change Accord has been delayed. A decision has been delayed from the White House on that. I don't know if you view that as positive.
Well, I don't view anything as positive or negative coming out of this particular White House. I just want to go back a little bit to the last question. I think the optics here on the my expertise is in politics and political communication, and I think the optics on the German-Trump relation are very important, and I agree that there is this election in Germany coming up and that the politics are important, but the optics have not been particularly good on that. And I think that's the case with other leaders also in Europe. He certainly is forcing a rethinking of what it means to be liberal, what it means to be democratic, what it means to interact in the international arena. I think that's a good thing. Also, obviously, in the national arena. But I have a very hard time looking at him as the end of, you know, what's gone before. And he may be a bridge to something new, and he may force a rethinking, but I don't really see him in the kind of apocalyptic terms.
Mabel Berezin is a sociology professor at Cornell University. Final thoughts, Constanza, on the climate change accord. There was a lot of excitement that that accord represented a real solid
achievement
in international cooperation as well as environmental policy. Where do you think it's headed?
So two things. On the previous question, it seems to me, and I'm a constitutional lawyer by training, I wrote my German doctoral thesis on American constitutional law. It does seem to me that this president has challenged fundamental principles of representative democracy, limited government, protection of minorities, freedom of the press in this constitutional order in unprecedented ways. As for the climate accord, media today are suggesting that sources in the White House are saying that the president is preparing to step away from it, to cancel America's participation in it. Meanwhile, the Indians appear to be offering to join.
What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, in a previous age, it would have been the other way around.
That the Indians would have pulled out and the U.S. would have stayed in.
Yes, the Indians would never have joined and that the U.S. would have stayed in. And again, I think a lot of Europeans would have found that in line with the tradition of America leading and expanding and adapting a liberal global order that is at the service of all of mankind and not just of the interests of one country.
Constanza Stelzenmüller is Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Constanza and Mabel, thank you so much for a candid conversation.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Thank you.